Okay, venerable brothers, Dhamma friends, so we are gathered here to start the English Dhamma discussion. Typically on Thursdays we are listening to Bhante Dhammajiva's Dhamma sermon, Singha Dhamma sermon. Since he is away from the monastery, now we are conducting English Dhamma sermon, English Dhamma discussion. And currently we are discussing Parayanavagga. We are going one sutta after the other. And as you all know, Parayanavagga is based on various questions asked from the Buddha by 16 ascetics. Actually, they are Brahmin youths. They themselves are teachers who have a fair amount of experience under Venerable Babari. Babari is a very old teacher, a renowned teacher, 120 years old. And he went through certain questions, and that's why he is sending his students to meet the Buddha. And now they are asking various questions so that actually they are asking through the mind those questions, and then Buddha is answering through words, through speech. So not only themselves, the others also will basically listen to Buddha's teaching. Now these teachings are fairly concise, and again the Dhamma explained are very deep in the other sense, and we can see that Buddha concisely presented his teaching, particularly for the people who are very intelligent and the ones who come across the Buddha at his early stages. We can say they are fairly intelligent. They only need a very short guidance, and with such short guidance, they were able to realize the Dhamma. Because they were already practicing. Now, actually, we have gone through fair amount of depth in this section in the Parayanavagga, and today I think we have to start with the Hemaka Sutta. Am I correct? Also, Hemaka Sutta, right? So we have to start with the Hemaka Sutta. I'll recite it in the Pali, and then Venerable Dhamma Vijita will recite the English translation, and Venerable Dhammalankara will recite it in the Sinhala translation. And then we'll have a short discussion to each and every verse. And if possible, we'll get some light from other suttas so that we will be able to understand these verses in detail. Okay, the first verse going like this. Yeme pubbe viyakansu hurang gotama sasanam icchasi iti bhavissati sabbantam itihi tihang sabbantam takka vaddanam nahan tatta abhiramin නාහං තත්ත අබිරමින් යේමේ පුබ්බේ ව්‍යාකංසෝ හුරං ගෝතම සාසනං ඉච්ඡාසි ඉති භවිස්සති සබ්බන්තං ඉති හිතිහං සබ්බන්තං තක්ක වඩනං නාහං තත්ත අබිරමින් yeah we'll listen to the English and Sinhala translations yeah
okay, this is the Bhikkhu Bodhi translation of the Suttanapada. It's page 337 and the questions of Hemaka. Those who in the past explained things to me before my meeting with Gotama's teaching, saying such was such it was, such it will be, all that was hearsay, all was an increase of thought. I did not delight in it.
Asrai thanks. Hemaka manavaka puccha. Ayushmat Hemaka manavaka mise vicharai. Bhagyavatun vahansa. පෙර භාවර බ්‍රාහ්මණ ආදී යම් කෙනෙක් ගෞතම ශාසනයෙන් පළමු මෙසේ වීල මෙසේ වන්නේලයි යම් ධර්මයක් මට දෙසූ නම් ඒ හැම දහම් මෙසේ මෙසේ යයි උපන් කතාවේ ඒ හැම කාම විතර්ක ආදී තර්ක වඩන සුළු වෙයි මම එහි නොඇල්ලුනෙමි.
So basically this is a very interesting question. Now the question explains that he's a person that who already met several teachers. So he has gone to many teachers and he already met many of them. And whenever he is asking questions, so they are not giving an answer based on their direct experience. Rather, they are giving certain answer which is icchasi iti bhavissati. That was what happened. That's what going to happen. So not talking about the present experience, what they are going through, based on their own experience, rather most of them are talking about ichchasi. So what has happened in the past. and what's going to happen in the future. It was like this, it was like this, it was like this, it's going to be like that, it's going to be like that. So sabbantang itihitihang, so it's a kind of a hearsay. So they are talking, I mean they are talking with the memory, they are talking with some predictions. So sabbantang itihitihang, those are hearsays. Sabbantan takka vandanang, so once we hear that, so we get a lot of doubts, lot of thoughts, and we get a lot of perplexities in the mind, and we also start thinking about it, okay, it has happened like that, it's going to happen like this in the future. So likewise, it promotes thinking, and lot of logical thinking is what it is promoting. Sabbantang takka vandanang. Nahan tatha abhiramin, so I don't like that. so basically we can see, I mean, what a kind of mentality he is having. Now people typically appreciate that kind of say conceptual and logic, rational kind of thinking. But this person, on the other hand, he don't like that. So even if we recognize today's situation, now people really like, you know, thinking. They are into overthinking even. They are into conceptual proliferation. And most of the things are based on the concepts. And people are promoting concepts, thinking based on concepts. And again, people get into a lot of arguments, a lot of conflicts, and many, many debates. And they are challenging each other. And because they have certain views, different views, and other people, another group has some other views. So they are, you know, arguing each other. So likewise, many arguments are there, many thoughts are there, many rationals are there, logics are there. So based upon that, so people are arguing, hitting, quarreling, conflicting, all that is there. Now for a person who is fairly intelligent in the other hand, so he understand, okay, these are mere hearsays. So they haven't really experienced the whole thing. They don't have themselves touched upon the truth. And rather, they are based on various logics, based on various rationales. They are talking. So therefore, I don't like that. So actually, when we come to the Buddhist thought, we can say there are three different levels of panya, three different levels of wisdom. The one thing is called the Sutame Jnana, where we are hearing the Buddha's teaching and we are learning that and we are reading. So all that also still external, kind of superficial. And we need that. We need some kind of guidance coming from the Buddha's teaching, from the canon. And we are reading, we are learning, listening, all that is there. So that is one part of the teaching or one part of the wisdom. The next part is called contemplative wisdom, or we can say wisdom based on the contemplation, Chintamaya Panya, where we do this kind of thing. We do a little bit of logical thinking, little analysis, little rational thinking, and we ourselves combine what we have heard, analyze, and based on that we start somewhat convincing ourselves. It could be true, so it should going to be like that. So likewise, that is also kind of an accepted a way of learning, what we call the Chintame Panya. But on top of that, that's the most important one, that is the experiential knowledge, what we call as the Bhavaname Panya, where you are putting yourself into practice. For that you need certain amount of mindfulness, certain amount of concentration and balanced effort, and all that is properly used, and so that you yourself see things as they truly are. So that is the most important thing, where Buddha's teaching is fairly, prominent, where a fair amount of importance has given to this experiential knowledge. So Buddha encourages that. The whole Satipatthana, whole mindfulness practice is based on this experiential knowledge. So we are going through certain practice, and that practice help us to understand for ourselves. So Buddha has guided us, yes, but now we ourselves are going through a kind of an experiment. Using that, we are thoroughly going to understand things. So that's the difference on the other hand. And so we'll see what further then Buddha going to answer when Hemaka is telling like this. So Buddha's answer starts like this. Panchame dhamma makkahi. No, still, this one is talking. What this Hemaka is mentioning. Panchame dhammang makkahi. Tanha nighatanang muni. Yang viditva sato charang tare loke visattikang. Panchame dhammang akkahi. Tanha nighatanang muni. Yang viditva sato charang tare loke visattikang. So we listen to the translations.
Declare to me the Dhamma, O Muni, the destruction of craving, having understood which, living mindfully, one can cross over attachment to the world.
Munindriyan vahansa, ishmuti mat uyem, yam dahamak dana hasirin nem, lohi visattika nam utrushnava, taranekarem, නම් මුඹ වහන්සේ තෘෂ්ණාව වනසන එබදු දහමක් මට වදාළ මැනවි.
පංචමේ ධම්මං අක්කාහි තණ්හා නිග්ඝාතනං මුනි යං විදිත්වා සතෝ චරං තරේ ලෝකේ විසත්තික. Now this is how he further explanation. So he already listened to the Buddha's teaching now. So basically he understood. Now පංචමේ ධම්මං අක්කාහි. So please explain your dhamma. Tanha nighadana muni. So that is, so your dhamma is based on abandoning of the desires, abandoning of the craving. And yan viditta sato charang. Once you are, so when one has understood that teaching, they are sort of being in this world, sato, that means mindfully. So that tare loke visattikam. So they are able to cross over this craving. So craving has become one of the theme of the Buddha's teaching. We are so recognizing various desires appearing in our mind, not allowing them to, you know, take us into a very transgressive levels, and understanding various desires, and rather than trying to fulfill those desires, so the process is recognizing and abandoning them, recognizing and relinquishing them. So it's easy to tell, but not that easy to implement, because when various desires are there, automatically we are tempted to say fulfill them. Immediately we are, you know, driven by them. Say you got a desire to eat something, you simply go there, you open the fridge and take it, and you simply taste it. That's it. You didn't recognize it as a thought or it has a desire. Rather, immediately we are compelled to implement it, to fulfill that desire. So those sensual desires are, in that sense, comes completely driving us, and we are trying to fulfill them. So therefore we can, that's why Buddha sometimes mention tanha, the craving is the companion of oneself. Tanha dutiyo puriso digamadhana sansara. So that is another verse coming in the Sutta Nipata, the Dhanupassana Sutta. Tanha dutiyo puriso digamadhana sansara. Itta bhava anyata bhavang sansarang nati vattati. So Buddha mention, so tanha is the companion in this long sansara, when one is wandering in this long sansara. So we think, okay, today I have my friend, I have my partner, I have my wife, I have my husband. But actually the tanha is our partner. Tanha is our, say, companion. So we are keeping it all along with us in this wandering sansara, in this long sansara. So it's basically demanding various things. Okay, I want to see things, I want to hear music, I want to taste something, I want to smell something, I want to have kind of a contact with someone or something, or else I want to think, some imaginations, fantasizing. All that are driven by various different kinds of craving. So we simply follow that. We don't question that, why these desires are there, how I can overcome the desires. We don't think like that. We simply become slaves to the tanha craving, and we are simply driven by that. So that's why sometimes, again, Buddha mentioned tanha, what's that? There's another very interesting statement. Tanha daso. Atitto loko tanha daso. Atitto. Adito means every time we feel like something is missing. Something is, you know, still something is missing. I'm not perfect. I'm not completely fulfilled. I need something. So if I get this, I'll be fulfilled. If I get a good job, then I'll be happy. If I get married, I'll be happy. If I find my best partner, okay, I'll be happy. If I get a promotion, I'll be happy. If I would be able to migrate to another good country, okay, I'll be happy. Say, if I get a salary increment, I'll be happy. If I get a child, I'll be happy. If I get a new house, I'll be happy. If I get a good car, I'll be happy. So every time at the moment, I'm not happy, on the other hand, isn't it? So if I am expecting something, anticipating something, indicates currently I am not feeling completely satisfied. Certain kind of unsatisfaction is there in the mind. So it's always creating certain amount of agitation, unsatisfaction. So I am now driving, I am now searching various things so that I'll be fulfilled, I'll be happy. But once I get that, what happens? Another desire. Then we get another desire. Okay, assume that I was thinking about getting married, so I found a partner and so I got married. Next, that is not the end. So I need children, I need to go to a new house. Wife is asking this and that. And you need to get a new car. I mean, this car is not that good. So now we have to have a good car. Okay, I have to go for another job so that I can fulfill her desires. So a lot of other things are there. So it's a, you know, kind of a never-ending process. So we are completely driven by various desires, various cravings. And we don't stop and look at them. Rather, we are trying to satisfy them. So this is a typical approach that we are following. And atitto tanha daso. So we are very much like slaves to tanha, slaves to craving. Now Buddha's teaching is fairly on recognizing these cravings, these desires and abandoning them. So that's why in the second noble truth, idan dukkhang arya satchang. And idan dukkha samudayang arya satchang. The second noble, idan dukkha samudayang arya satchang. Yayan tanha puno bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini seyyati idam kama tanha bhava tanha vibhava tanha. So these are the three categories, three types of craving. The kama tanha, the desire to sense pleasures, bhava tanha, desire to become, and vibhava tanha, desire to get rid of. So these are fairly interrelated, helping each other, supporting each other, and fairly interrelated. And this craving has the characteristics that is pono bhavika. So from one incident to the other incident, so we are being navigating. We are very much like anticipating another event. And all these different events, we are connecting each other. So craving, that's why visattika is considered as kind of a gum. Is that... Adhesive, kind of an adhesive. So different events are there in our lives. Say past events are there, present events are there, anticipated future events are there. So we are tanha appears like an adhesive, so that all these events are combined together, and so that we get a kind of a drama. So we feel like a drama. Okay, so I had past. Now I have the present. I have the future as well. So I feel like I am living. I am a person. I have past. I have present. I have future. And so we feel like, okay, I am living. I am so and so. I was this. I was, currently I am this. I will be like that. So like that, I feel the perception. I get the perception of that continuity. Because of this adhesive property of the craving. And Pono Bhavika, now it's always looking after a new event, yearning for a new event. And Tanha Pono Bhavika Nandiraga Sahagata. Now, whenever we are attached to something, when we are holding something, it gives some kind of a delight. So that delight is another thing. So that's why it's kind of a bait is there. So that is the delight. So we have a little happiness. We have some satisfaction. We have little thrill, some happiness, so that delight. So that delight is what actually promoting us to implement whatever it is. Nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini. So in all those points we are happy. Abhinandati. So we are being elated, we are being quite happy, we are laughing, we are happy, we are enjoying. So all that is there. So tanha has all that manifestations, all that different aspects, and we are simply following that, trying to fulfill, and that is what we are doing throughout the sansara. Throughout the sansara, this is what we are doing. So Buddha asks us to step back and look at it, understand it, and then let it go. Dukkha samudayang ariya satcham pahatabba. So you have to work on it rather than fulfilling it, rather than trying to satisfy that desire. Step back and watch it, how it is operating, how it has, you know, arising in your mind, and keep it aside, leave it aside, let it go, abandon it, relinquish it. So in essence, so that is what we need to do. Craving as the cause of suffering, you recognize, and then it's a matter of abandoning those cravings, desires, and keeping the mind very relaxed, quiet, free from craving. Can you do that? So we'll see. So the next is what Buddha is now explaining. Idha ditta sutta mutta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka. Chandaraga vinodanang nibbana padamajjutam. So Buddha concisely now presenting further his teaching. Idha ditta sutta mutta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka. Chandaraga vinodanang nibbana padamajjutam.
The spelling of desire and lust, hemaka, for things here seen, heard, sensed, and cognized, for whatever was a pleasing nature, whatever has a pleasing nature, is the state of nibbana, the imperishable.
Please repeat, can you?
The dispelling of desire and lust, hemaka, for things here seen, heard, sensed, and cognized, for whatever has a pleasing nature is the state of nibbana, the imperishable.
Hemagaya melouhi rupayatana shabdayatana gandha rasa isprashtavyayatana dharmayatana sankhyata u priya swabhavyanhi chandaraga prahaneya u chuti rahita u nirvana padaya vei.
Now basically idha ditta sutamuta vinyatesu. Idha, the means here. Now it's a kind of a current practice. It is not something past in the future, rather currently. Currently you got to do this. This is the present moment practice. Idha ditta sutta muta. So ditta means what you are seeing. So through your eyes, what you are seeing. Sutta, what you are hearing. Muta is through the nose, tongue and the body, what you are, say, experiencing. Through the nose you are experiencing odors. Through the tongue you are experiencing various tastes. And through the body you are experiencing various tangibles. All that together we call it as muta. And then what is remaining is the vinyata. Vinyata is what you are, you know, the thinking. Now currently, at the moment, what you can see, what you are hearing, what you are smelling, tasting, going through the contact, and what you are thinking, whatever the thoughts. Now what you need to do, idha ditta sutta muta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka. So piyarupesu means, so particularly the desire arising, if we are seeing some beautiful things, if we are hearing some beautiful music, if we are getting a good smell, a scent, a pleasant scent, maybe a good taste, a very good soft touch, and whatever the, you know, the thoughts which we like to think, all that thoughts, imaginations, fantasies that we like to think. Idha ditta sutta mutta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka chandaraga vinodana nibbana pada machuta chandaraga vinodana. Now when they are there, you get a kind of a desire. That's a kind of automatically it is there. So that is how our mind is conditioned, like where whenever we see a beautiful thing, automatically kind of a thrill is arising. Automatically your, you know, desire is arising. You are being attracted to that. You are compelled to think about it. So this is the kind of an agitation arising in our mind because the craving is operating. Previously your mind is in a very calm, relaxed, peaceful state. But the moment that you see a beautiful something, maybe a beautiful woman, beautiful handsome man, or a beautiful flower, whatever it is, something beautiful which is pleasing, and you get kind of a jerk in the mind. You get a desire. You are being a little attracted to that. So your peacefulness, that calmness, relaxed, steady state of the mind is little trembled. So there's a ripple in the mind. So now, so Buddha's practice is that Chandaraga Vinodanang. Now once you recognize that, okay, you got to abandon it. Again, come back to the middle. Be in the middle. Come back to the peacefulness. Don't allow the mind to, you know, think, proliferate based upon what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have, say, sensed, and what you have cognized. So ultimately, if you are able to maintain such a state, so that is Nibbana. Simple as that. So, Chandaraga Vinodanam Nibbana, Nibbana Pada Machyutam. So, Nibbana Pada Machyutam. So that means, so this is the state of Nibbana, where your mind is not burning. Your mind is not burning with lust. Your mind is not burning with craving or anger or anything. So you are fully awake, but with a peaceful mind. There is no agitation in the mind. There is no any kind of an excitement in the mind. It hasn't uplifted or has gone down. You are maintaining very peaceful, very relaxed, very calm, quiet mind. Even though you see things. Even though you hear things. Even though you smell, taste, touch things. Even though certain thoughts are coming to the mind. Now, let me connect this with the experience coming from one of the Arahants. So he's called Sona. This is available in the Anguttara Nikaya, Numerical Discourses of the Buddha. Sona Sutta, Anguttara Nikaya, Chakkanipata. So that's a very beautiful verse that he's also mentioning. Now before coming to the verse, he's explaining like this. ఏవమేవ కో బంతే ఏవం సమ్మా విముత చిత్తస బిక్కునో బుసాచేపి చక్కు విన్యయ్యా రూప చక్కుస ఆపాతం ఆగచ్చంతి. సో హీస్ టెలింగ్ నౌ సమ్మా విముత చిత్తస బిక్కునో. సమ్మా విముత చిత్తస మీన్స్ ద వన్ హూ ఇస్ విత్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఓపెన్ మైండ్, కంప్లీట్లీ లిబరేటెడ్ మైండ్. సో దట్ మీన్స్ అన్ అర్హంత్. ఫర్ ది అర్హంత్ సమ్మా విముత చిత్తస బిక్కునో బుసాచేపి చక్కు విన్యయ్యా రూప. నౌ హిస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ క్వైట్ ఓపెన్. He's not sleeping. He's not blind. His eyes are quite open. Many, you know, forms are, you know, can be seen. Busa chepi chakku vinyaya rupa. There are many different kinds of forms, sights available which can be seen through his eyes. So now they are coming in contact. His eye of line of sight is aligned with many things. So he can see many things. So what happened? Busachepi chakunya rupa chakusa patangagachandi. So they are in contact with his eyes. Now what happened next? Nevasa chittam pariyadiyanti. So his mind is not agitated. Mind is not agitated. Even though he sees things, his mind remains calm. His mind is not agitated. Nevasa chittam pariyadiyanti. Amissi kata mevasa chittam hoti. So his mind is not getting mixed up with what he has seen. So even though he see, his mind remains calm, quiet, unagitated, not mixing up with various things. Now say, typically for an untrained mind, when a beautiful thing is there, immediately we go and attracted and we start thinking, proliferating, and you being indulged with it, and you approach that person, whoever. So like that, a lot of agitation is there in the mind. Now here, amissi katame vasa chittang hoti. So that means, so his mind is not mixing up. So his mind prefers to be in the seclusion. So amissi katame vasa chittang hoti titang. His mind is steady, still, without movement, just steady, being still. Titang ananjappatta means unwavering. There is no any kind of a perturbation, any kind of an agitation. Just remain calm, quiet, steady. Ananyampattam. Vayam passanu passati. Vayam chassanu passati. So, whatever he has seen now, they are passing away, and he see how things are passing away. They are disintegrating, they are passing away, so he can see that either. The same thing is explained to what he has, heard, to what he has sensed. Through the nose, tongue, body, what he has sensed. And even the thoughts are coming, but his mind remains calm, steady, stable, without getting jerked by the thoughts, without getting repelled or attracted by the thoughts. Thoughts come and go, but his mind remains calm, without mixing up with the thoughts. අමිසී කතමේ මනෝ කාය සෝ මනෝ විඤ්ඤය ධම්මා මනස්ස ආපාතං ආගච්ඡanti සෝ බුද්ධ සෝ this venerable sona explained මනෝ විඤ්ඤය ධම්මා මනස්ස ආපාතං ආගච්ඡanti various cognizable mental objects are coming to the mind and he is aware of that but නේවස චිත්තං පරියාදයන්ති mind not get agitated අමිසී කතමේ වස්ස චිත්තං හෝති mind remains without get mixed up with all those mental objects. Titang remains calm, steady, still. Ananjappatang, without any wavering. Vayanchassanupassati, he sees these thoughts coming and going, various signs coming and going, feelings coming and going, thought formations coming and going. Remains calm, steady, peaceful. So he further actually explained that what this verse mentioned by the Buddha. So he is giving a very beautiful simile in this Sona Sutta. Selo yatha eka ghano vatena na samirati. Evang rupa rasa sadda gandha passacha kevala. Ittha dhamma anitthacha nappa vedhinti tadino. Thitan chittang vipamuttang vayanchassa anupassati. Now he is giving a very beautiful simile. You imagine a huge rock. A very, very strong, huge rock is there. Suppose now there's a huge wind blowing from east. What happened to the rock? Nothing. It remains calm, steady, right? It's a strong, strong rock. Even though wind blowing from east, no wavering. Even though the wind blowing from west, south, north, in any direction, that solid rock remains calm, steady. Selo yatha ekagano vate na samirati. Na samirati. Na samirati means remain steady. Na samirati. So similarly, evang, rupa rasa sadda gandha passacha kevala. Rupa, various forms, rasa, various tastes, sadda, various sounds, gandha, various smells, passa, various contact. Kevala, various different kinds of all that. Itta dhamma anitta. They could be very beautiful, very pleasing objects. Or anitta. They could be really, displeasing, really bitter, very difficult kind of things. Anitta. Nappa vedhinti tadino. So this tadi means the arahant. So nappa vedhinti. So he remains steady. Amidst all these different sense contact. Nappa vedhinti tadino. Titang. So his mind remains steady, calm, still. Vipamuttang, still the mind is very open, completely liberated, no attachments, no desires. Vayanchassanupassati, so whatever he is experiencing, he sees that things are going, they are passing away. They are simply passing away. Simple as that. So this is the direction actually, this is why we need to understand, so what is the direction that Buddha is promoting? Because sometimes otherwise we get, going in the wrong directions. Sometimes go through various other experiences, some very beautiful, attractive hallucinations, illusions, or say visualizations, maybe some deep concentrations. All these things are also possible in the spiritual path. But Buddha is taking us to a different approach, or rather different direction. So that is why we need to understand from the Arahant's statements. So he still see things, but mind remains calm, quiet, without mixing. He still hear things, smell, taste, touching, all that is there, but the mind steady. So how are we going to create that kind of a unwavering state of mind, steady state of mind, still state of mind? So that requires wisdom. So that is where you can't do it merely by the mindfulness, you can't do it merely by the concentration. With all that, you need to have a thorough understanding how things are really. So that yathabhuta jnana dasana, seeing things as they truly are. They are impermanent nature, unsatisfactory nature, non-self nature. The more the mind thoroughly understands that, so it starts naturally to become kind of secluded. Naturally, mind becomes stable because it understood, okay, these things are pointless. These things are, you know, useless. No point of getting attracted to them. There is nothing intrinsic there, nothing substantial there, nothing worthy of attaching. So the mind now slowly become fairly independent, open, free from all that. Even though now see things, not interested. Even though hear things, not interested. Even though smell, taste, touch, thoughts, still mind remains calm because it has understood, isn't it? It has thoroughly understood the nature, the reality. As a result of that, the calmness, the peacefulness is intact. So that is how actually Buddha is giving us the answer. So here in this Hemaka Sutta, Buddha mentioned, where's that? Ida ditta sutamuta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka. Chandaraga vinodanam nibbana pada machuta. Here, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have sensed, what you have cognized, it could be really beautiful. For those, there could be various desires arising in your mind. You got to abandon that. You got to let it go. Don't promote desires. Don't try to fulfill desires. Rather, you recognize desires as desires. Lust as lust. Greed as greed. Whatever desire as desire. And once you recognize, once you step back and recognize, it will lose its power, basically. It may not too much, you know, influence the mind. Rather, you step back and watch and it lost its power. And you may have a capacity to abandon it rather than trying to fulfill it. So if you are doing that, then the mind remains calm, unagitated. So that is the state of the Nibbana, where mind is not burning. Mind is fairly quenched, calmed down, very cool, relax. So that's the Nibbanic state, say relaxed state. So that is remaining as it is. So the last verse, Eta danyaya ye sata, ditta dhammabhi nibbuta, upasantach te sada, tinna loke visatti kanti. Eta danyaya ye sata, ditta dhammabhi nibbuta, upasantach te sada, tinna loke visatti kanti.
Having understood this, those mindful ones are quenched in this very life and always peaceful. They have crossed over attachment to the world.
Smrutimat u daknalada anityadi dahammati yam rahat kenek tela ama maha nivana maganenin dana keles pirinivimen niunahu sanhun uhahu nam o hamakalhi lokehi visattika nam u trushnava taraneya kalahu veti.
So I think it's fairly aligned with Venerable Sona's explanation. Eta danyaya ye sata. So eta danyaya. So the one who thoroughly understood that. So the impermanent nature, unsatisfactory nature, non-self nature. So that he thoroughly understood that. So anya is a synonym for the arahantship. The arahant. Ye sata. Sata means he is a mindful person. Ditta dhammabhi nibbuta. Here itself he has attained Nibbana. Not that he is going to attain Nibbana in the future life. Rather here in this very life. Right here now. Ditta dhammabhi nibbuta. Here itself, he has attained Nibbana. Calm, quiet, his mind is tranquil. Upasanta chaste sada. Upasanta. So he remains very peaceful. His mind is really peaceful. Te sada. Every time. Every time. It is not that he is while in the meditation hall, his mind is peaceful. That's a must, by the way. But we need to try. How can it be peaceful while walking, isn't it? While going through a conversation, while going to, say, while having our meals, while going on Pindapath, while talking to another person. Is the mind unagitated? Is the mind calm, very relaxed, steady? Upasanta chate sada. So every time, so their minds are quite peaceful. Upasanta chate sada. Tinna loke visattikanti. So they are the ones who are able to cross the visattika, the craving. The ones that, you know, the adhesive. The adhesive is always looking to bind us, to attach us, to hook up. So with mindfulness, you need to recognize it and let it go. Keep it aside. So the mind remains calm, quiet, in the peaceful state. So this has to be an ongoing practice, isn't it? I mean, you can't do it merely at the, you know, we are trying to do it in the meditation hall. That's a must. That is where we start, you know, gathering the momentum. That is where we are doing the experiment. But slowly, slowly, we need to expand it to other occasions as well. So can I practice the same thing? Can I maintain the state of mind, what I am experiencing at meditation hall? Very peaceful, very quiet, without any attraction, without any repulsion. Mind remains very balanced. Can I have that state while walking? Can't I have that while walking? Can I have that when I'm having a bath, when I'm having eating, when I'm going through the Pindapatha, when I'm at the Dhanasala, when I'm waiting for a bus, when I'm going by a vehicle? Can I maintain that? So that is where the experiment, isn't it? So that is where we need to find out the challenging situations. Here in the monastery, it could be somewhat easier because all are trying to meditate, all are trying to helpful, the environment is very peaceful, maybe possible. But when the situations are not favorable, so you are waiting, but the vehicle didn't come, mind can get agitated. So can I maintain the calmness? You are waiting for a bus, the bus didn't come, so mind get agitated. You are anxiously waiting for a friend, the friend still didn't come, mind get agitated. Say all of a sudden some kind of noisy music happens, the mind can get agitated. All of a sudden very beautiful music, very attractive music being played, mind could get attracted. Or all of a sudden kind of frightening things going to happen, mind again can get agitated. So these are the situations actually we can test. Is our mind still steady amidst all these ups and downs? So we may recognize the steady mind, the peaceful mind in our meditation session. But once we recognize that, so we need to recognize, okay, how it get disturbed, how the mind loses its balance. So where am I losing the balance? Am I losing the balance at the Dhanasala? Am I losing balance when I am taking food? Am I losing the balance when I am talking to a particular person? Now say for example, when you are talking to one person, maybe you are able to maintain the balance of the mind. But to another person when you are talking, probably you feel a little agitated, you want to, you know, suppress him, you want to argue with him, you feel a little angry. That is one situation. Maybe another person, you feel really elated, you feel really happy, you want to be with him, be with her, and you want to, you know, stretch the time period that you are talking. I mean, it's not enough talk. I mean, let's talk further. You get a desire to, you know, talk further because you are enjoying the talk, enjoying the speech. So both are possible. So can we look at the mind? I mean, how the mind is reacting in a particular conversation? So likewise, so all these lifetime experiences, now we need to apply the teaching, isn't it? We need to apply the teaching and we need to test ourselves. So it's a very, you know, it's a kind of an ongoing practice. That's why, so here very beautifully mentioned in the previous verse, yang viditva sato charang. Yang viditva sato charang. After knowing that, you know, now you all, I mean, say we all have practiced to some extent. Now we have learned something, understood something. Yang viditva. Now we need to mindfully navigate in the world, be in the world, move in the world. Sato charang, tare loke visattikan. So that mindfully we recognize all the desires, greed, hatred, delusions, desires, and then slowly abandoning them so that the quietude of the mind is remaining, calmness of the mind is remaining, peacefulness of the mind remains. So that becomes one's kind of lasting practice, the long-term practice. So immediately we may not be able to attain the arahantship, but we are recognizing very peaceful, calm, relaxed, tranquil, unattached state of mind. So let that be further expanded, let that be prolonged with all the other activities, not only at the sitting session, even at the walking, even at eating, even at listening, talking, whatever it is. So anything that you would like to contribute? So I think we have come to the end of the sutta. Venerable Viveka, you have any thoughts?
Sarai Swaminanse, at the beginning of the talk, near the beginning, you mentioned this quote that the Buddha said, and you said it meant that something is always missing because of that craving.
Exactly.
And you followed that up with examples of a lot of material things.
Mm-mm.
Like a spouse, children, a house, cars. But my question is, for the bhikkhus and the bhikkhunis and us lay yogis who have seen the value in retreating from the world and putting some things aside for a time, we have a fair amount of, say, this or non-attachment to material things.
Correct.
I mean, the bhikkhus and the bhikkhunis themselves, they've completely relinquished all material things. For such kind of people, what kind of things would they want? I'm thinking maybe immaterial things, like
Correct.
States of mind
Exactly.
that they feel is always missing. Is that a possible thing?
Definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. So that's why, so there are the same question very interestingly asked from Venerable Ananda. I think Venerable Ananda from the Buddha. So basically, now someone was asking, Bhante, I can see that people are quarreling each other for something, you know, for forms, tangibles, smells, tastes. What's the reason? It's obvious, as you said. So there are the, you know, the five sense codes, and people have a lot of desires to that. There's a competition. Then that person is asking, then Bhante, why these monks are quarreling? Why these monks and nuns are getting into arguments? That is because of the views. Various views are there. So now, say you have a particular way of understanding. Some other person has another way of understanding. So that there could be a little mismatch. And they are now arguing, okay, my what I thought is correct, what you thought is wrong. I should be correct. You should be wrong. So I am the best. You are not that good. So my understanding is correct. Or my understanding of this particular Vinaya rule is the best understanding. You made a breach. You got to confess. So likewise, so now monks and nuns get into arguments because of this kind of a, you know, adherence to various thoughts, various views, particularly to various, you know, even with respect to Dhamma. So that is where we get into certain situations. So can we have, that's why Buddha is telling, okay, even with the presence or not presence, absence, have a metta chitta, have a kind of a loving kindness towards every companion. Now people can have various views, people can have various ideas, but you should be able to discuss them with some cordial heart, with some peacefulness, rather than get into conflicts, rather than get into arguments. Now it is not for trivial things that people may be, you know, monks and nuns may be arguing, like the, say, a kuti, and that's also possible. Say, for a kuti, one can argue, you know, they are fighting for a kuti, fighting for a hut, fighting for a ball, fighting for a cloth, the robe, or some kind of requisite. That is also possible. You can think, okay, I am the one getting the best requisite, and you are not getting such requisite, so I am more fortunate, you are not that fortunate. So I should get the best priority, or the, because I am more senior, you guys are quite junior. So you should respect me. So all that are possible. So you are expecting certain respect from others. So you need to understand the hierarchy. Okay, you need to keep me on higher pedestal. So those are also possible. And the most important thing is, okay, the views. Many different views. The thing is, once we relinquish the sensual stuff, the material belongings, so the mind starts attaching to these different views thoroughly. Thing is, when people are with lot of sensual stuff, so their priorities are different. They have their spouse to look after, they have their material wealth to look after, they will earn a lot of money, they are, you know, they are bound to pay rent and, you know, this and that. They don't have time to look at certain views, you know, deep teachings and spiritual stuff. They don't have time. But the monks, so they have enough time to think about them. So that's why they are coming with a lot of arguments to Buddha. Bante, how this world appear? How the beginning of the world? Is the Tathagata going to be available after death? Oh, you are telling Tathagata is not available after death. Or are you telling Tathagata is available and not available, both? Or are you telling Tathagata is not available and not available? Various views. So they come up with various, you know, fantastic views, and they get into arguments. And even just yesterday, one Sri Lankan monk, he is challenging another monk openly in the media. Come with me for an argument. I want to have a challenge. I want to have a debate with you. Not for material things, but about the understanding of the Dhamma. They want to argue openly in the media. Arguments, conflicts. So that's why, so the various views are becoming kind of, you know, I mean, poisonous even. So that's why Buddha's teaching, so in the Sammaditti, when they are coming to the Supramundane type of Sammaditti, that's why Buddha said, don't attach to anything. Don't hold on to anything. So Sammaditti in the ultimate sense is, you have nothing in the mind. Attached nothing. That's why in the Arahant case, Samma Vimutta Chittasa Bhikkhuno indicates, so his mind is completely liberated. Nothing is there. Nothing to hold on to. And you know, in the Madhupindika Sutta, when Venerable Dandapani, that one Sakyan, so he come and ask from Buddha. So he is asking like this, King Vadi Samuno Kimakkhayiti. Monk, what is your view? What is your teaching? So Buddha mentioned, little difficult answer. Yathavadi ko avuso sadeva ke loke samarake sabrahma ke sasamana brahmaniya pajaya sadeva manusaya na kena chi loke vigaya tittati. So amidst all these, you know, monks, nuns, devas, brahmas, yakkas, whoever, so all different groups of people are there, beings are there in this world. Na kenachi loge vigaya tittati. So my teaching is to stay without any arguments, without any conflicts. Na kenachi loge vigaya tittati. Yathacha pana kamehi visangyuttang viharantang. Tang bahmanang akatang kating chinna kukkuchang. Baba bave vitatannan sanya nanusenti. Evang vadiko ahang auso evang akkhayiti. So the one point he highlighted there is, I have no arguments. I am not going into any debates with people. So this is my teaching. So you can see, I mean, yeah, Buddha is very, you know, very diplomatic. He is giving the deep teaching, but no arguments. Really beautiful. Really beautiful. Actually, that's why. Now, when we are going to argument, you can see the ego comes out. So I am the correct one. You know, my view is the correct one. My argument is the correct. So we are putting ourselves in a higher position, and we are looking down the others. So we are developing the ego. We are developing the self view, or we are developing the personality view. Sakkaya ditti. Simple as that. So at that moment, if we are mindful, we can recognize the anger arising in our mind, agitation arising in our mind, or the ego arising in our mind, and we got to drop it, isn't it? Then we become quite innocent, we are cordial, we can shake hand with the other person. I mean, Bante, I made a mistake, you also maybe made a mistake, blah blah blah. Let's move forward. So no arguments. But when people are with a lot of ego, okay, I am the one, you know, doing this, that, and blah blah blah. You attack me and you made a wrong statement and you are like this, you are like that. Let's have a debate. Ayyo, what to do?
That response, I'm completely lost for words. Bullseye. Yes. I have no more further questions.
Exactly.
Excuse me, Bante. Yes, well, that was a really nice, I like your this quote from a sutta, I guess, that the Buddha, you know, what is your view, or, you know, he's asked what is, you know, what is your view, basically, right? Mm. So, and it just reminded me that I had heard that the Buddha had great respect for the Dhamma, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's, it doesn't need, the Dhamma doesn't need anybody to argue for it, because it's just the ultimate truth of things as they are. And it seems like there's, you know, the Buddha has nothing to argue about mm-hmm. the Dhamma, because it's just the absolute truth. So mm-hmm. how can he, it's not a view. So there's nothing to argue. That's what it reminded me of with mm-hmm. your what you had mentioned.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's why, I mean, because now Buddha is the one understood everything. No? So once you understand to the fullest, so he understood nothing is worthy of attaching, isn't it? Because the point of others is they understood partially. They haven't understood the fullest. So since they understood partially, so with that partial knowledge, so they have certain discrepancies with the others thing and certain misunderstandings about the others, what they haven't understood. So likewise, because they partially understood. But on the other hand, Buddha's case, he thoroughly understood everything. So he being the Buddha, Sammasambuddha, so no arguments at all. Very clear. Nothing to argue, because absolute in the, I mean, he's absolutely in the very, very higher level, so he has nothing to argue. People come and argue, by the way. It doesn't mean that he didn't go to certain, say, debates, not really debates, I would say the conversations. People ask various questions, they ask various views, they come to clarify certain views, and they want to entangle the Buddha also. Sometimes Buddha remains quiet. He don't want to answer. He sometimes abandons certain questions. He don't want to answer at all. But on the other hand, sometimes he when there are people asking various questions, Buddha say, okay, let that question be. Just listen to me. And he try to convince the people with a different way. Then ultimately, they understood, okay, my question is a useless question. Isn't it? So they ask various different kind of difficult questions. But with the Buddha's answer and the convincing, they thoroughly, they themselves understood, okay, my previous question is useless. I have no point of asking again. Something
he,
like that.
In his answer, he basically sort of points out their misunderstanding,
exactly.
Wrong view.
Exactly. And sometimes even he corrects the question. Sometimes monks are coming and asking, so Bhante, where are the materials going and end? That's the end of the material. What's the place where the material ends? So Buddha say, it's no point of asking like that. That's not the way to ask. You can ask where the material does not find footing. So that is a question in the Kevadda Sutta. It's a very deep question. So, you know, Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayu, all these physical material things. So one monk is asking, Bhante, where this all disappear? Where this disappear in the sense completely cease, completely vanish, completely destroy? Where is it? Now Buddha say, that's a wrong answer. You better ask the question like, where all this does not manifest? Where all this does not find footing? So that is where Buddha say the anidassana vijnana. So where the mind, the mental state where it doesn't have any kind of a footing, does not have any kind of a trace of the materiality. So that is where they don't find the footing. So that should be the way that you have to ask. So likewise, when people are asking very deep questions, sometimes Buddha even correct that so that the proper answer could be given. Correct answer could be given. Because sometimes people are asking questions based on the wrong personality view. Now say for example Pottapada Sutta. So Buddha is explaining how gradually the development happens. And ultimately when everything's explained, then again Pottapada is asking, so what happened to the self? So after going through all that, because the whole teaching is based on the non-self and Buddha is trying to convince him there is no self, but after the whole explanation, he's again coming and asking, Bhante, is that self going to be disappeared or going to be eternal? Because they are thoroughly, you know, conditioned by the self-view. Very difficult to convince them that there is no self. They are thoroughly convinced, they are thoroughly conditioned, thinking that there is an Atma, there is an ongoing self, intrinsic self or lasting self. So even though Buddha various ways is putting the teaching, still they can't understand. So likewise, so very difficult sometimes even to the Buddha to explain the teachings, because people are fairly conditioned, their minds are fairly wrongly conditioned.
So in the sutta that you were mentioning about the person asking the Buddha, what's your view? Mm. Maybe he could see that that person is just going to try to get him into a debate.
Exactly.
And it's that person doesn't have any right view at all.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's no sense in getting into that.
Exactly. So it could be one such thing. So let me, so the Madhupindika Sutta that... let me put the translation. Dandapani the Sakyan, while walking and wandering for exercise, also went to the great wood. And when he had entered the great wood, he went to the Bilwa sapling, where the Blessed One was, and exchanged greetings with him. When this courteous and amiable talk was finished, he stood at one side, leaning on his stick, and asked the Blessed One, what does the recluse assert? What does the recluse assert, and what does he proclaim? And assert, and what does he proclaim? And now Buddha is answering, friend, I assert and proclaim my teaching in such a way that one does not quarrel with anyone in the world. One does not quarrel with anyone in the world, with its gods, its maras and its brahmas in the generation, with its recluses and brahmins, its princes and its people, whatever. He's giving various examples, different categories of people, different beings. Have no quarrel with anyone. Dandapani is another Sakyan household, kind of a tough guy seems to be. So he is coming and trying to, you know, have an argument with the Buddha, maybe to get his something, but Buddha skip it, no arguments. Very interesting. So we have no further questions coming from this side. Anything from Kumar or Niranja? I don't know who is joining from outside. You have a question?
Kumar here.
Yes.
No, from this side also nothing.
Okay.
Nobody has raised any questions.
Okay. Then, yes, please. Yes.
Avsarai Bhante.
Yeah.
Just wanted to ask you, now we were talking about this sensual pressure and the craving and all this.
Mm.
In day-to-day life, actually... we experience certain things and we get into this sensual pleasure.
Correct.
And sometimes we can understand that we go into this because of our cravings, but when it comes to like meditation and all this, that's part of karma tanha, but there's a bhava tanha as well. Yeah. So when it comes to meditation, I think the bhava tanha is still there, the craving to become,
yes,
or
yes,
to exist.
Exactly.
How do we understand that even during the meditation, it might be there, and then probably we don't even know that there's something like that. So
exactly. So very good question. Now this bhava tanha in one sense is helpful at the beginning. You know, this is what driving us, motivating us. Oh, I want to become a Sotapanna. I want to become an Arahant. I want to practice diligently. That is necessary. So if you simply say, okay, I need to abandon everything, so this is also desire, then you don't even practice. So that is where, I mean, the chanda is required. You know, some positive, say, spiritual kind of desires are required for us to motivate ourselves, to promote some kind of a practice. But the interesting thing is, when we are maturing, going through the practice, going through some vipassana, at one level you come across this state of mind where no tanha, no craving, no attachment, no establishment of the mind. So this is a very, you know, turning point in our practice. So once you reach there, you come to a kind of a decision, okay, now I need to abandon craving. Now my practice also completely changed. Previously I am driving myself, you know, torturing myself. Starting very early, practicing diligently, striving very strong, very effortful. All that is there. So with that, by the way, now I have arrived somewhere. So no attachment at all in the mind, no stress at all in the mind, no personality or no person or ego, anything. So very relaxed, very calm state of mind. So this is the Tadanga Nibbuti. We are depending on the wisdom what we have developed so far, to that extent my mind has quenched. My mind has become so peaceful, calm. And this Buddha say, okay, now you recognize this as a refuge. This is the Nibbana for the time being. This is the temporary Nibbana you have arrived. Use this as a reference now. And while there, now you need to abandon desires. Now you start a different approach. Okay, now Viveka Nisitang, Viraga Nisitang, Nirodha Nisitang, Ostanga Parinami. Viveka Nisitang. Now I need to be sort of, my mind has to be fairly restful. Instead of restless, agitated, now mind has to be very peaceful, very relaxed. Viraga Nisitang. Now it has to have an attitude of dispassion. Whatever sensual things, I have to have a kind of a dispassion. Whatever becoming things, you know, the desire to become, that also I have no point. I don't want to become anyone. You know, best meditator, no need. Maybe jhana, no need. Maggapala, no need. Because Maggapala, then he'll attain, while in the present moment, quenching all the desires, abandoning the desires, that is the path for the Maggapala. Not that you are, you know, striving, rather you change the route to a different way. So you calm down, you relax, maintain the mind very cool, very calm, free from proliferation, free from overthinking, free from various thoughts. So the mind, it has to be very cool. You know, that even today we discuss. So that's a cooling effect. Nibbana has to have a cooling effect, calm down effect, very relaxed state. So that is where you recognize, you start promoting that. Keep the mind very quiet, very cool, very calm, and you enjoy that silence in that sense. So from that point onwards, now he takes a different turn. Now he is, as Buddha mentioned here, yang viditta sato charang tang loke visattika. Now he understood the teaching. Now only he arrived this level, and now it's a matter of navigating through the life, abandoning the desires, recognizing these desires and abandoning that. So that's why in the deeper sense, so Buddha say once one become an arahant, so the you know, that quest, the spiritual quest, has somewhat calmed down. So we are driving that, we are driving through the spiritual life because of the spiritual quest. So brahmacharya esana, that is called brahmacharya esana. So we are searching, what's the truth? So who is an arahant? What are the qualities of an arahant? So that is necessary, by the way. You know, that is necessary. That is how we are driving. That is why we are continuing the practice. So once you arrive the complete arahantship, so Buddha say, brahmacharya esana patipassaddha. So that brahmacharya esana, the complete continuous search, in search of brahmacharya, the real brahmacharya, real celibacy, now he has come to a calmness. That has become peaceful. Because you arrived that. Something like that. So, therefore, sometimes there are in certain suttas, it is mentioned, tanhang nisaya tanha pahatabbo. So, you first, based on the tanha, the desire, and later you relinquish the tanha. Ultimately, you arrive to a state, okay, now it's a matter of relinquishing tanha, abandoning tanha, keeping the mind very cool, calm, quiet, something like that. So, therefore, at the beginning it is necessary, but later you yourself come to a state, okay, now I found a kind of a middle point. It's a matter of now maintaining that, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Now you explained a little bit how this the state looks like when you are successfully abandoning desires and the mind comes to peace, and also if things are sensed or thoughts appear, nothing changes in the core being. How in this state then you decide how to interact with the world? That seems
like... That's why. Yeah. So I think that's why you need to interact, definitely. You need to go through the whole different difficult situations. So while you are there, so the maintaining mindfulness is a must. That's why I may say even today, so this Hemaka Sutta, So what this Buddha highlights, let me take that directly. Yang viditta, no, tanchame dhammang akkahi tanha nighatanang muni, yang viditta sato charang tare loke visattika. Ida ditta sutta muta vinyatesu piyarupesu hemaka chandaraga vinodanang nibbana pada machutang. Ita danyaye sata ditta dhamma binibbuta. Upasanta chate sada tinna loke visattika. Now every time here Buddha mentioned, every time, every place, you got to be mindful. So mindfulness become your protector, very much like. So you are fully, you have no other weapon. You are not prepared. I mean, only you have mindfulness. So you are going through the whole world, all the activities, all the interaction with others mindfully. And you are mindful in that place, at that moment, and you are aware of what is going on in your mind. How mind reacts to a particular situation. If there are desires, so you need to recognize it and abandon that. Something like that. So you are fully aware, fully mindful about the situation, and that is your kind of protector, and you are maintaining an unattached mind. So that state that we just discussed, say the peaceful, unattached, desire-free kind of state of mind. So as much as possible, you are returning back. If your mind get agitated, you are returning back. If your mind get agitated, again returning to back. So you can read the Indriya Bhavana Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. So that's a whole sutta is on that. Now actually, one person is telling. So our teacher is telling, okay, don't look at anything. Don't hear anything. So Buddha say, then the deaf people may be the ones who have practiced to the most. The blind people are the ones who would have practiced to the most. That is not the approach. So the Indriya Bhavana means, so when you arrive at that particular refuge, see, when the mind becomes agitated, you quickly come back. You quickly return back to that state. So it's again a practice. So as you said, when we see a beautiful thing, we get attracted. We lose the balance. But Buddha say, now you understand, okay, now again you become somewhat agitated. So this is a very gross experience now, where you are now. Previously, you are in a very simple, very quiet, very peaceful state of mind. So abandon this new state, this very gross. Abandon that. Return back to this peaceful, calm, relaxed, equanimous state. So it's again, promoting this equanimous state of mind.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got a little bit of it. The only thing that's left then is, if I understood correctly, then if you keep the mindfulness in whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
naturally and instinctively the right action arises?
No, this is the thing. That's why, I mean, at first, we need to develop a fair amount of wisdom. First, we develop mindfulness. Further, we develop concentration. And we are using that to understand the nature of the things, various phenomena, and you do a thorough investigation. And that investigation helps to develop a fair amount of wisdom. So that wisdom is responsible to abandon things, relinquish things. Then only the mind become sort of independent. So this independent state of mind, which is not attached to anything in the world, so this becomes your refuge. So now you need a fair amount of work there to come to this evil. But even though you arrive here, you are not an arahant. Still the defilements are there. Again you get agitated. Again you get attached. Again you get attracted. Again you get repelled. But you understood very peaceful state of mind. So here, this state you are now, you need to register in your mind thoroughly, return to that again and again, make it like a, you know, kind of at home, something like that. So once you get agitated, return back. Once you get agitated, return back. So this becomes your norm as much as possible. Slowly, 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 this becomes your kind of a norm, and very easily you can abide by that. Previously, it's difficult. Previously, you need thorough practice to arrive here. Accidentally you come here, but slowly, slowly, you coming this frequently and being there frequently, and now you can take it during the sitting, you are confident about it, you can spend there, say, 30 minutes, you can spend there for 45 minutes. So likewise, you are familiarizing with it. So likewise, you are maturing yourself.
I think I got
understood,
it.
Right? Yeah. Okay, I think we have spent a fair amount of time today, and almost 2 hours. And then 1.5 hours, so then we'll conclude the session. I'll request Venerable Dhamma Vijita to share the merit.
May all celestial beings share in the merits produced by today's teaching, and may they protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Self-Enlightened One and his disciples for a very long time. May our relatives, all beings, share in merits produced by the teaching today. And may the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds grow and produce path fruition and nirvana. I invite you to join in the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits.